The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Bibles this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 6 for a moment, and then we'll come back to John chapter 6. But one verse in John chapter 6, verse 68, and we'll share the background of that in just a moment. But Peter said to Jesus in that verse, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." In chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and speaking of Jesus in verse 15, it said, "He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, for all things have been created through him and for him." And in verse 21, it said, "Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in the fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." Then in chapter 2, verse 9. "So in him," that is Jesus, "all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is head over all rule and authority." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you are indeed Lord of lords and God of gods, the creator of the universe, and that you created us for yourself. And we pray that you would help us to understand and know that if we're going to be what we're supposed to be in this world and have fulfillment and a sense of direction and purpose and live life at its fullest, we have to live it according to the way you have taught us and what you've said, because we were created to live for you. So we ask you to use your word and speak to our hearts today and draw us to yourself and help us to know that beyond any shadow of a doubt that whatever we're facing, whatever's going on in our life, you're sufficient to meet our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. For in him, Paul wrote to the Colossians, in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. He is completely and totally and completely God. And you are complete in him. That is, you are everything you're supposed to be and everything we can be. We're going to find only in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he is the head of all the powers and principalities and forces of this world. Folks, we are complete only in Jesus Christ. Then if Jesus is the fullness of God and we are complete in him, folks, then understand, to possess Jesus is to have everything that we need to live spiritually for God. All the strength and wisdom and comfort and joy and peace and meaning, value, purpose, hope, fulfillment in our lives now and forever is bound up in him and in the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Christianity is an all-sufficient relationship with an all-sufficient Christ. The great truth of the Christian faith is, folks, that Jesus is sufficient for every need in our life. Read the story of a preacher who was preaching a series of revival meetings in the North and South Carolina, and he was staying with some friends in a home in Asheville, and he was traveling at night to go do where he was speaking. Well, one night he was scheduled to speak at a church at Greenville, South Carolina, and because he didn't have a car, some of his friends from Greenville offered him transport him to and from Greenville. So he bid farewell to the host and his friends where he was staying, and he told them they could expect him to return somewhere around midnight. So after ministering in Greenville and preaching that revival, he arrived back in Asheville. Approaching the house, he saw a porch light on and assumed that the host was prepared for his return and his arrival, So he sent the driver on the way because he had a long drive back to where he was going, assuring him that he would be all right. It was a bitter cold night. And he got up on the porch and knocked on the door, and he couldn't get his friends to answer the door. They didn't hear him. Frustrated and becoming colder by the moment, he decided to walk down to a neighboring house so that he could call his friends, and realizing, you know, that the time he had decided best to use a public phone instead of waking up a neighbor, and so he could call him. And finally, you know, in the process, in an area he was not familiar with, he slipped and fell and ended up in about 2 foot of water. He was freezing. He was cold. You know, he was not, you know, and he was soaked. He finally crawled back to the road, saw a light at a hotel, finally got a phone at the hotel, and he called his friend. And his friend replied, "I gave you a key before you left. It's in your overcoat pocket. Don't you remember?" Now, that's a true story, but it illustrates for us sometimes how we act as God's people in this world. You see, we're always looking for something to open the door of power and in the Christian life. We're looking for some kind of satisfaction, fulfillment, spiritual blessings in all of our life, some kind of spiritual resource, some kind of special thing that's going to somehow set us free so that we can have everything that God wants for us. And we're trying to gain access to God through all kinds of means, through human effort, through willpower, through our works. And we try everything we can to somehow, you know, get a hold of. And all the time, we have the key. For Jesus Christ is everything we need. We are complete in Him. He is the Godhead. He is ultimately the fullness of the Godhead. And in Him we are complete. Folks, Jesus is the key to every spiritual blessing in this world, to everything that we need, no matter what's going on in our hearts and our lives, is somehow found in His relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 6, that whole chapter is an amazing spiritual chapter. It starts off with Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the crowds were there, and He fed them and then took up baskets of stuff that was left over. But then he left the crowds and sent them home at night. He sent His disciples across the sea. He went up to the place of prayer, and He was praying, and the disciples got in a storm that night, and that's when He came walking on the water to them, you know. And He had been keeping His eye on them all the time. One of the Gospels tells that story, said He watched them there. You know, he was up on the mountain at the side looking over and watching the disciples in their storm. He hadn't forsaken them. He hadn't forgot about them. And He knew what was happening in their hearts and lives. And that's also true. That's another spiritual truth I'll deal with another time. But then when he got back on the other shore, the crowds who had been fed the day before came back looking for Him and wanted to find Him. And they couldn't find Him where they was at. And they realized He was already gone across the sea. So in verse 24 of John chapter 6, it said, the crowds came and saw He was not there, nor His disciples. So they themselves got His small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, how'd you get here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Truly I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on Him the Father God has set His seal." And then He goes down and He begins a discourse talking about what it really means to have life and to know what life is really all about. And He says to them, "I am the bread of life. You know, I'm the bread which came down from heaven, and it is this bread which came down to heaven is going to give you life. And you need to be obedient to the will of God." In verse 29, Jesus said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." In verse 40, it said, "And this is the will of My Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." And then He began to talk to them about he came to take on human flesh, and that if they were going to follow Him, they needed to eat His flesh, eat this bread which came down from heaven, and drink His blood. Now, the crowd He was talking to understood what He was talking about. For us, we're kind of clouded by the change in culture. But what he was calling for was a total commitment of their lives to him. He was saying, if the things you are looking for, you're going to find only when you totally receive me and everything that I have to offer, and you give yourself to me, you believe in me, you trust me, and I'm going to give you all those things. That was a hard saying. He comes along and says, look, you know, ultimately he's saying this, give up everything you have and trust me. You have to be obedient to me, you follow me, you trust me, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Folks, he was talking about an absolute, total surrender and commitment to him. Now, that was a hard saying. People still don't want to hear those words. Well, we'd sit in church on Sunday morning, so he'd say, yeah, that's fine. Then we get out on Monday morning, and we've forgotten that it means 100% commitment to him. Because we still got our life, we still got things we want to do, and there's a lot of things we're not willing to surrender to say, Jesus, I'm going to put you first in my life. So it was a hard saying, still hard today. Call upon people to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And folks, that's what Jesus said. If you really want everything I have, if you really want to be totally complete in me, you know, and have all my blessings, you understand, it ties to your relationship with me, and you're going to find fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness, you know, and a life of abundance only in your relationship with me. That's still the true message today. That's a message the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be complained. Everything we need, we find in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Now, the disciples said, Lord, that's a hard saying. And many of the crowds, all the crowd began to fall away from him. They found out he wasn't fixing to feed them anymore and give them some more fish and bread. And he was calling on them to make a total commitment of their lives to him. So they fell by the wayside. You know, the disciples were left. In verse 66, as a result, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus said to the 12, to his faithful 12 that followed him everywhere, he said, do you want to go away also? And that's when Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Folks, I'm telling you, there are times in our lives when it seems we don't know where we're going to turn or what we're going to do. There are difficult moments that are taking place. And there's often times in which perhaps we have felt like just throwing up our hands and saying, it's not worth it anymore, okay? But Jesus, maybe at those moments, looks at us sort of like he did at disciples and said, what do you want to do? And ultimately, we have to know the answer to that. Where do we go except to Jesus? Well, there's nowhere else to turn. There are things in this world out of our control. We, you know, they're all in the control of God, and we have to trust him to take care of us and meet our needs, and the promise of God, he will. Now, we live in a world today where people are running around everywhere looking for some kind of answers to all kind of resources. They go to the psychiatrist, psychologist, psychics, you know, the cult preachers of the health, wealth, and prosperity doctrines of the world. They're looking for an easy way out, you know, to somehow to find the answers. And, you know, they want to make as little commitment as possible. And thousands of people in our world today are joining interdenominational churches where they don't have to make any commitment or any stand for anything. They just show up to be entertained. And there's no real call for them to commit their hearts and their lives to God. And we're being led away from the true resource to make life purposeful and meaningful. And that is a complete and absolute surrender to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. There is no other answer. We must trust Jesus, and when we trust him, we have everything to meet every trial, every circumstance, every difficulty that we may encounter within our lives. Folks, Jesus is the answer. In John 7, Jesus is approaching the last week of his life as he goes into Jerusalem, facing that last feast before he goes to the cross. And in verse 30, John 7, verse 37, he said, now on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying unto him, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Folks, I'm telling you, we may not have the answers, We may not know what's happening, why it's happening. We may not understand the difficulties we're facing. My personal life right now, I don't understand how my kids got to the place they are when I know what they've been taught. And I've struggled with real difficulty and trying to grasp and understand all the things that are happening. And at times I've been really emotional, and I apologize for those that I've lashed out at, you know, because self-control is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, and I hadn't demonstrated that a couple of times. And but there's, you know, the difficult moments that I, you know, but when you stop and think about it, what are you going to do? You throw your hands up and say, well, because I don't understand, I'm going to give up. No, there's only one other thing you can do, and that's to continue to trust that God and that He's in control and He's the only answer. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what's happening, what's taking place, the difficulty you're facing. You know, you could name them, and every one of us could name some going on in our lives right now with our family, our finances, our friends, our health, and things that are happening in our church family. We, you know, and even with our church as a whole, with this building, we can throw up and say we don't have all the answers. We don't know what's going on and what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, the one true source of understanding and commitment that's going to bring us out of that with spiritual blessing is we must continue to trust Jesus. That's the only answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else are you going to turn? There's nowhere else, folks. There's nobody else. He is the only one, and He is sufficient to meet your need. Now, He's sufficient to meet all of our needs. But the first and most important thing we need to grasp and understand about the gospel of Jesus Christ is He's sufficient to meet our needs of salvation. The greatest need we have in this world is to know Jesus Christ as Savior so that we can be forgiven and saved. The greatest need of salvation. No one is ever born a Christian. We are sinners by nature, by practice, and by choice. We need God more than anything else in the world. There is no other way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. Folks, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Him, we are basically made complete. He is everything. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Me. We needed somebody to deliver us from the problems of our sin and set us free from that and rescue us from that sin. And Jesus is our deliverer. He's the one who came in to provide that deliverance and our salvation. We need a way back to God, and Jesus is the way back to God. We were alienated from Him and separated from Him, and Jesus came to bridge the gap, and He said, I'm the way. We need to know the truth of God. All this junk that the world is preaching out here and today, and that all these gods are the same, and that we all going to get to heaven, and that we need to compromise our Christian faith in order to please somebody else. Folks, I'm telling you, that is the biggest bunch of garbage that comes straight out of the pits of hell that I've ever heard. There's only one way you're ever going to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. We need to understand the truth. And Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. You want to know the truth about God and about relationships and about the world and about religion and about the Bible, you turn to Jesus. He is it. That's it. He is the truth. And then He, not only is that, but He's the life. See, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. And when we come to know Jesus, then He gives us back. Verily, verily, we have passed from death unto life, John said. And we have life in Jesus Christ, where we are born again with a new life. God, through Jesus Christ, took care of everything we needed for our salvation. He came into the world, and He died upon the cross. And by dying upon that cross, and He shed His blood for us, then He has justified us. And today we can stand justified before God because of what Jesus Christ has done. We can be reconciled unto God, and therefore I'm accepted by God because He has reconciled me and brought peace together with me. He has propitiated my sin. That is, He has basically taken the wrath of God for me when He died upon the cross, and God poured His wrath out upon Him. And because of that, I am completely forgiven, and I don't have to worry about the wrath of God and facing that through eternity and through hell for the rest of my life. And I am redeemed. The debt that I owed unto God because I've sinned and rebelled against Him has suddenly been paid, and He has died as my substitute, and He has taken my place. And folks, he has regenerated us, and because he's regenerated us, we have a new life in him, and we are a new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Folks, we are complete in him. Everything we need in relationship to our God and to our salvation, we find it in Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest methods that Satan is trying to deceive our world is to believing that there's salvation in some other way or some other God or through our goodness or some other religion or some other way. Satan wants to lead us away from the simple truth of the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And you understand, it is God's will for you to be saved through Christ. And in verse 40 of John 6, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life." And Jesus Christ has provided everything we need in order to be saved and to be reconciled unto God. He is sufficient for your salvation. Today, if you're here and God has revealed to your heart and your life that you really are not saved, or you got struggles and doubts and you're wondering about your relationship with God and whether you're going to go to heaven when you die, and there's a lot of doubts and struggles going on in your life, I'm telling you, the answer is in Jesus Christ, and you need to settle it once and for all. And he'll give you some peace and assurance about your relationship with him. He is the only way. You need to come and trust him. But not only is he sufficient to meet our need of salvation, but he's sufficient to meet that emptiness that goes on in our lives and the misery of life. Well, we live in a world ruined by sin. And because we live in a world by sin, then we face all kind of consequences in this world, which basically drag us away from God. And the greatest need of the human soul as we live in this world today is to find some kind of fulfillment and satisfaction in life. But there's an emptiness that plagues our society, that plagues our mankind. It's caused by the sin that has separated those ways from God. We were created by God for God, and the fulfillment of our life can only come as we're connected to God. Augustine said hundreds of years ago, he said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until we find rest in thee." You want to have some peace, you want to have some happiness, you want to have some abundance in this world? It comes through Jesus. Committing your life to Christ. You're not going to find it on your own, going out there and trying to do things your own way. You're not smarter than God. You're not better than God. You know, and the things you think you want, you know, those things that we pursue that draws us away from God and away from the church and away from spiritual things, those are the things that ultimately are going to bring the consequences, and we're going to end up and result in misery and heartache and emptiness in our lives. One of the reasons so many people today are so unfulfilled in their hearts and lives is that they will not come to Jesus Christ and will not make that commitment that Jesus had called upon the crowds to make. He said, "If you're going to follow me, I want you to make 100% commitment to me, eating my flesh, drinking my blood. Folks, I'm on everything from you." And today we want to hold some reservations. There are some areas it's just my life, and I'm going to do what I want to with it. And then we wonder why we're empty and miserable, facing all the consequences of our disobedience. I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the water of life. He is sufficient to meet your need. I remember when I was doing substance abuse counseling, and I went to an AA convention as a part of my job at that time, And I remember one of the speakers says, and he said, "I'll tell you what it was like before I came to know God." That's what he said in his speech. He said, "I found the answer, and I found it through God. But before that," he said, "it's like I had a great big hole in myself, and the wind was just blowing through it all of the time. There was just such an emptiness there. But it was not filled until I found God." Folks, I'm telling you, so many people are like that. There's so much that's missing from their life. And they're never going to find the answers to the misery and the emptiness until they come to Jesus Christ and to him alone. He's sufficient for our salvation. He's sufficient to give us a life. He said, "I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." We can live abundantly with meaning and direction. But he also is sufficient to give our life purpose. Purpose. What are we here for? So many people are struggling with that question. You know? young man came to his pastor and said, I don't know what I'm doing here in this university. I don't know why I'm eating three meals a day and studying. I'm here because my folks are paying the bills, but I can't see what it's all about and where it's leading to. I am caught in a rat race of the daily routine. And I just have to keep plugging away at it and at the books, you know. But I can't see where I'm going or why I'm going there. And there's a lot of people who feel exactly that way. They just get through life, get up one morning and, you know, go through the next day and just kind of get through things. It's like, you know, we just don't have any real purpose. But I'm telling you something. When you come to the place that you absolutely, totally surrender to Jesus Christ, it is like turning a light on in a dark room. The confusion suddenly is gone, and you discover that God has a purpose for you and a plan for your life. And we may not have all the answers and the details of what we're going to do with our lives and how it's all going to fit in place, but there's a sense of direction. We now know that God wills something for me, and we're going to find the answers to why I'm here and where I'm going only out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Life, instead of being dull and boring, is going to be transformed and exciting and wonderful. I can remember my teenage years. I was a pretty miserable young man. And the reason that I was miserable, I understand it as I look back on it now, because, you know, when I was 9 years old, God called me to preach. And when I got to be a teenager, I decided that's not what I want to do. There's a lot of reasons for that. My family would always love to preach. The preacher was at our house every week. I mean, he ate dinner with us every Sunday, you know, unless somebody else just happened to come along and invite him. But he had an open invitation, and my mother cooked when I was growing up until I got in high school. She cooked for half the church every Sunday, you know, and then preacher was always there. And I saw the good and I saw the bad. We were involved in church and everywhere in the world, and I saw a lot of things that just said, I don't want to do this. I saw them live in poverty, you know, so I decided, you know, I wanted to be a mechanical engineer. So, and not only that, my first wife was going to Louisiana Tech, and I didn't know how to go to Louisiana Tech and be a preacher, so I went down there to be an engineer so I could be in school with her, you know, and I was going to make a lot of money and do what I wanted to do in life. And I tell you something, I was miserable. I didn't know what I was doing, where I was going. I can remember working in the summers between school, and I'd go over to paper mill and work. That's when it was running full time. I'd leave that paper mill, and there was a Yates's bar across the street there on First Street in Cullen, and I'd walk from the paper mill over to the bar and try to get drunk before I went home to go to bed. Every time I went out on Friday night, I was drinking because I was running from God. I was miserable. Then when I married my first wife, she settled some of that down, and things changed, and I realized I'd do things differently. She took my beer and poured it down the sink, for one thing, you know. And I knew I wasn't supposed to be drinking, so it didn't really create a whole lot of problems. I just said, okay, and I'll kind of rededicate our lives to that. And then I can remember the night that we were actually come home from school on a weekend. It was at my father-in-law, mother-in-law's house in Spring Hill, and I was a miserable young man. Didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do. And I went out there and had some big old tall pine trees in the yard, and I laid down on the ground, wept like a baby under one of those pine trees. When I got up from there, I was saying, God, whatever it is you want in my life, whatever direction you want to go, I'm willing to do it. I'll do what you're asking me to do. That was on a Saturday night. On a Sunday morning, I walked down the aisle of my church and told them that God had called me to preach a long time ago, and I'd been running for him, and now my life had some direction and purpose. I was about to fail school because I was miserable at Tech. I stayed there one term so I could get my grades up and I could transfer out of there, but I made immediate plans to transfer to Louisiana College and begin to study for the ministry. My life changed because it had some direction and purpose and a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Because I'm telling you, when you surrender to Jesus Christ, He will give you a direction for your life. Now, it may not be to preach. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God has different plans for all of us. But He'll give you a plan. He'll give you a purpose. He'll give you a direction. He'll give you assurance that you're headed in the right direction when you surrender and commit your hearts and your life to Jesus Christ. He's sufficient to meet every need in your life. He's sufficient for your salvation, sufficient to fill up the emptiness and misery of life. He's sufficient in order to give you some kind of purpose. You could go on for there and talk about every crisis, every lack of strength, every time we lose self-control. We could go on and list all of those things. And I'm telling you, the same answer is always, to where else do we turn? To whom else are we going to go? Folks, He is the answer. And He is the only one who is sufficient. So I ask you today, are you trusting in the all-sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ, to meet all of your needs? Jesus said, this is the will of the Father, that you be saved. You believe in me. Verse 29, He said, that's the commandment. You believe in me. That's what God wants us to do, what He's commanded us to do. That's where the answers to our problems lies, in the surrender of our hearts and our lives completely and totally to Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Christ, you need to open your life to Him and let Him move into your heart and life. And you need to trust Him for salvation. That means your life will change. You don't trust Him and just keep living the way you've lived. You know, therefore, if you come in Christ, you're a new creature. And behold, all things have become new. Old things are passed away. You become a new person in Christ. And then as a child of God, we've been trying to do things our own way and our own effort. Our self-effort and willpower and self-discipline say, well, I know I can do it. Well, you can't do it. There are things in this life going to happen you can't handle. Somebody said, well, God won't put more on you than you can handle. Not true. God don't put it on us to start with. It happens because we live in a ruined world and we're facing the consequences of our sin. But I'll tell you what God will do. If you'll trust Him completely and totally, He'll get you through it with strength and with help. But it comes to the point of being obedient to Him. Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to believe in Him? He is the all-sufficient Savior. He can meet every need we have. And whatever need you have this morning, I'm going to ask you to be obedient to God and to say, God, You can have my life, as we pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity we have to be here, and we just pray that You'll draw us to Yourself right now, that we will surrender our hearts and lives to You, and that we will trust You, and that we'll be obedient to Your Holy Spirit's leadership as You draw us to Yourself right now.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.